The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Motta to the point. Bjugstad, the drive, save. It's loose on the rebound. A scramble for it, but it goes to the corner. 1-1 the score. Here's Hayton. Shoot. Score! Well, Barrett Hayton got the puck, and it deflected up top. He should get credit for the goal. And it is a 2-1 Utah lead. This one will count. Time of it, 18-28 in the third. It is the first lead that Utah has had in this game.
We weren't really good with the puck. Didn't really get anything going on offensively all night. So they defended well, but we got to be better with the puck. We got to win some battles and sustain some ozone time.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is a Saturday morning. We had hockey last night. We've got hockey tonight. And the San Jose Sharks are coming off a very, very frustrating loss to Utah last night. And I think that the most frustrating thing about watching the Sharks at this point in time is knowing that these games in the future, when they are a better team, when they have taken the next steps in this rebuild, that they will be at a point where they will win these games because they are quote-unquote winnable games. If you tell me that a good team in the NHL only gives up 2 goals on the road, I will tell you, you know, with about 90% certainty that that's a game they will win. And last night's game, when you get an effort like that from Georgiev, when you get just overall a game that is not exactly being a marvel of a game from the home team, that should be a game that you take 2 points out of, or at least 1 point out of, 100% of the time. But that's not where the Sharks are at this point in time. They are still a team that is flawed. They are still a team that makes mistakes. They are still a team that doesn't know how to go out and win every single game in the NHL. And I think that was what was most distressing out of this game is that they go out, they get the early goal, and then it just was a complete lack of offense after that. And I've seen that a couple of times from the Sharks in recent memory where it feels like they go out and get an early score and then they're incapable of building upon it. And that's something that's got to change. They've got to be able to figure out what it takes to keep on pushing, to keep on pressing, to get one goal and then keep on building towards the future. And that is not what we've seen in these games. Last night, they were not able to have extended ozone time. They were not able to get off nearly enough shots. They were not able to manage the puck. And that's one of my biggest points of contention out of this game is they simply were not able to control the overall flow of the game and, you know, just kept on giving the puck over and giving Utah more chances. And thankfully, Georgiev was there to have a great game and bail them out. But that's not where the Sharks are going to find wins. And they are not at a point where they need to be absolutely perfect to win games. But they are at a point where they need to be better than they were last night. And I think that's another aspect of the frustration of the game is because they can be better than that. We've seen them be better than that. Their games against the Devils, their games against Tampa most recently, those were high-quality games in which the Sharks played 60 minutes of very, very competitive hockey where their compete level was at the right area, where they were able to be intense throughout the entirety of the game. And last night's game, the Sharks just didn't have it in them. I don't know if that was, you know, there's the result of too many days off or if Utah is a bad matchup for whatever reason, because this is now 3 games this year that have all been decided by 1 goal and the Sharks have only come out winners out of one of them. But this was a situation where the Sharks had the ability to get a win and just couldn't muster what they needed to go out there and win it. And I think that when you look at the lack of physicality throughout the game, when you look at their lack of being able to be locked in, when you look at the puck management, when you look at the lack of offensive production, you just kind of left scratching your head thinking, why weren't they better in this game? And I often come back to that question. And I think the answer we all know is that across the board, the talent level isn't good enough. Their young players are talented, but not quite quote unquote there yet. And some of their veteran players are not at the point of the career where there can be ultimate difference makers. And so hopefully you will get to that point sooner rather than later where they can be there. But the frustration right now, man, it is real because chances are there. And the NHL is such a punishing game that whether or not you're able to take advantage of those chances when they do come can be the complete difference of the game. You're not going to get those other chances. It's huge that the Sharks were able to get great calls like their the goalie interference call out of last night's game. The staff has done a phenomenal job on when and where to challenge throughout the entirety of this season. And those opportunities where you suck life out of your opponent, that's got to be where you then have that quick bounce back to give yourself a lead. You had a chance to go down by a goal. You take that goal away. That's emotionally deflating for the other team. That's got to be your moment to go out there and strike. And so for San Jose, it's about learning from these opportunities and moving in the right direction. So hopefully that is something that they will continue to do going forward. But in last night's game, they were not able. But one aspect of last night's game that I am going to be pleased with is the continued quality play from Alexander Georgiev. He has had two consecutive starts in which he has looked just really good, kind of like the guy that he used to be. And, you know, I give credit to Thomas Spear for being just a phenomenal goalie coach and really going over the little things and the basic things as opposed to trying to completely redo the games of these keepers. And he's gotten great results out of, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood. And we're watching Georgiev, you know, right himself throughout the course of this tenure with the Sharks. But he faced 26 shots against last night. He made 24 saves, many of them of very high quality. He walks away with a .923 save percentage. And the two goals that were scored, I don't really have a problem with either of them. And that just shows you the amount of time that, you know, can really go into changing a goalie in terms of just getting a little practice, just getting a little bit of an ability to kind of reset yourself and take a look at your game. And, you know, the one thing that I am really noticing with Georgiev more than what we saw when he first joined the Sharks is he's just being a little bit more quiet in front of his net. And I think that that overall is speaking to the fact that he's probably playing with a little bit greater confidence. He's probably a little bit more locked in. He's probably a little bit more sure of what he wants to do and what he needs to be doing. And those are the kind of things that can see you not flip the narrative, but change the narrative. And this is a guy that needs to change his narrative. And so watching him just be a little bit more calm, watching him be a little bit more confident in his actions and his movements, that's a big sign for me of what he needs to continue to do going forward, because I don't need him to be perfect. I don't need him to be, you know, an amazing standing on his head quality goalie every single time. I just want him to give the Sharks a chance to win the games that they're playing. And the last two games, he's done his job. He has given the Sharks a chance to win. You know, the other game against Vegas, they go down 2-0 early, and after that, he's flawless. And of those first two goals, you know, only one of them would I say, you should probably stop that. And that was the second one. But the first goal that he gave up in that Vegas game, that was, you know, the Sharks defense putting him in an awful position. But last night's game, taking a look at those goals, I'm not too worried about either of those. Those look like good goals that, yeah, you're going to get scored on from time to time in the NHL. You're not always going to be able to keep every puck out. And that's the type of play that you need from your goalies. That's the type of play that you need from everybody, to where you don't need them to be perfect. You just need them to be good enough to give you a chance to win. And when your goalie is on the road and he is recapturing his game and he is making big momentum reversing saves, you need to be able to take advantage. And for the Sharks to not be able to generate more offense in, you know, response to that kind of a performance, that's the thing that I think annoys me the most, is because shot volume, as we've said time and time again, is the greatest indicator of your ability to score a goal beyond talent. And if you keep on putting shots on frame, if you keep on asking questions of the defense, as I love to say, and I stole that from my broadcast partner with the Earthquakes, Joe Cannon, but ask questions of the defense, ask questions of the netminder, you might end up with the answer that you want. But for the Sharks to only get 19 shots on goal, that's not going to do it. You need to be doing more to create danger. You need to be doing more to create chances. You need to be doing more to give yourself that opportunity to score. But it's also hard to do when you keep on turning the puck over the way that the Sharks were throughout that game. And I think that puck management is also a huge, huge aspect of this. And, you know, I can't watch them do this same dance over and over without, you know, If I had any hair out, I'd be tearing that out. But you see them mismanaging the puck. And I don't want them to be some conservative, hesitant, afraid team. But, you know, be aware and be careful and make sure that you're giving yourself a chance to connect the dots and make a good pass, you know, going from one area to the other. That, to me, is the most important thing to do. You've got to be able to be aggressive with the puck. You've got to be able to connect the dots with your passing, but not give it away and not be completely unaware of where defenders are for the opposition. And, you know, for the Sharks, I think they just try to get moving a little bit too fast at times, trying to make a play. And when you're always trying to make a play, you invariably make a hurried or rushed decision, which can lead to you turning the puck over, and that's where the Sharks find themselves. But again, I have to take, you know, inventory of everything that we see out of the Sharks team and remind myself that they are not there yet. But for that same, you know, explanation, Utah isn't quote-unquote there yet. I think the Sharks missed a golden opportunity to get a much-needed road win and a win overall, and now they've got a very tough challenge tonight against Minnesota, a team that is very, very dangerous, has some very high-level talent, and should provide a big-time challenge for San Jose, and hopefully they'll be able to figure out what exactly they need to be doing and what exactly they need to get right going into this game. Because it's one thing for me, in my view from very high above, as we like to say, to point out that, yes, this is where the team is, this is what they're not doing. Well, that doesn't really, no one's too surprised to figure out that the Sharks aren't scoring, aren't shooting, and are turning the puck over. But, you know, it's easier said than done when you are in the thick of it on the ice. But that's also the job of the coaching staff. That's also the job of all the leaders on the team to get everyone to understand what they're doing right and what they are doing wrong. And if they can take those steps to continue to doing the right things, they'll invariably find better results. And now the Sharks get a big opportunity tonight back home against Minnesota to try and rectify a lot of those mistakes. But it's against a much higher quality opponent, and the Sharks are going to be on the second night of a back-to-back where their legs might be a little sluggish to get going. So, as usual, on the second night of a back-to-back, we look to what happens in the first period, the first 5 to 10 minutes in particular, because, you know, Minnesota is going to be buzzing, and they're going to look to bury San Jose. They are going to look to overall just crush them and try and punish them early on. So I imagine it's going to be Yaroslav Askarov in net, and he is going to be tasked with making some big, big stops. And you would just hate to see the Sharks, you know, come up with a better performance for Askarov than they did Georgiev, because Georgiev was deserving of more than one goal in support last night. And not that he would take it personally or anything like that, but I do think that building up the confidence of everybody on this team is a big part of where the Sharks are right now. And Georgiev deserves the opportunity to get wins for his high-quality performances. And I know that he's professional, and I know that he's not looking at it from the same viewpoint that I am, but, you know, this is two straight performances that he has been good for San Jose, and he's not been rewarded with the right performance on the other side. So hopefully that's something the Sharks can rectify, and hopefully that's something that he can get in terms of the goal support and offense needed to walk away with a win sooner rather than later. Big for Fabian Zetterlund to get a goal last night. He had not scored since the December 17th game against Winnipeg. He'd picked up points but had been pretty quiet as of late, and I often wonder if the contract negotiations are impacting things and, you know, maybe just adding a little bit of stress to his life, which is completely valid. I understand it. But, you know, he was the Sharks' leading goal scorer a year ago. He's a little bit behind his overall production pace that he was. He's got 11 goals right now, and I think that's, you know, on pace for about a 20-goal season. But, you know, he can heat up and change that narrative very, very quickly, and it's good to see him get on the board. I think Fabian Zetterlund has been a great get for Mike Greer, and I think that he does great things for the team in terms of what he does, not just in scoring, but in terms of his personality, in terms of the way he connects with the Lund line. And, you know, overall, you see his impact that he has with the fans. He's very much liked here in San Jose. I won't say beloved as of yet, because that takes quite a lot of time in any franchise, but he's a figure that, even though he is not quote-unquote a star, has a good energy and a good vibe about him, whether we're talking about the fans, whether we're talking about his teammates, whether we're talking about his play on the ice. And those are the types of players who grow into impact players with a franchise. There was not a lot of fanfare for him when he came to the Sharks, but he gets better seemingly every year. So that's something I would like to see continue. I can't point to his game and say that I've been unhappy with it. I've just wanted more production. And I think that, you know, in the last two games, he's had 2 points, and that's, you know, what he should do. He should be a producer for this team. He should be getting the opportunities. And, you know, it kind of brings me to the overall point of where the Sharks offense has been. Somebody said to me after last night's game, hey, Macklin hasn't been scoring a whole lot lately. Well, Sharks haven't been scoring a whole lot lately. Hard to rack up points if you're not scoring goals. Hard to rack up goals if you're not getting shots on goal. Hard to create chances if you're turning the puck over. Hard to do much of anything if you're not getting much ozone time. I mean, that's San Jose in a nutshell right now. They are not getting nearly enough offensive production, and that will lead to the scoring drying up. Let's just take a quick look at what they've done in the calendar year of 2025. 2 goals in a win against Tampa, 3 goals in a win against Jersey, 2 goals in a loss against Vegas, and 1 goal in a loss against Utah. That is 8 goals in 4 games. If you're averaging 2 goals per game, that is not going to get it done in the NHL. It's not going to give you much in the way of production, and it's going to point to a very, very quiet offense overall. So hopefully they've got games now coming up against Minnesota at home, which is going to be tough, but they go out on the road against Detroit, Columbus, the Islanders, Boston, and Nashville before they are back home on the 23rd. Those are games in which San Jose needs to find a much better offensive game. Obviously, don't turn the puck over. If they're able to do that, they'll be able to have success. All right, let's take a look at some of the highlights from last night's game. Early in the first period, Fabian Zetterlund.
Faceoff drop, Sharks have it. CeCe throws it over to Granlund, who shoots right on save. Rebound, score! Fabian Zetterlund gets the rebound in front and goes up top. And the Sharks fan contingent here in Utah explodes in excitement as San Jose leads 1-0 only 58 seconds after the opening faceoff.
Great goal for San Jose and a great start for the team. But my problem is that if you deliver a body blow like that early in a game when you're on the road, you need to start buzzing. You need to build upon that lead. You need to take control of the game. And San Jose was not able to do that, despite the fact that you kept on getting great saves from Georgiev, keeping you ahead and in control of the game.
On the right wing boards, Keller to the slot. Doan couldn't shoot it, gave it back to Keller, throws it down low off the end board, and at the near side with 50 seconds on the power play, it's kept in. Quick shot, glove save made by Georgiev, and that was off of Clayton Keller. He got that one on the net, and it was from the right circle. Nice work by Utah to throw that puck around with confidence and establish, but Georgiev made the stop.
The Sharks would hold on to the lead until the second period when Nick Schmaltz would find the equalizer.
Over to the far boards now. Valimaki's on the point. He wants the pass, but Schmaltz stick handles into the slot. Shoots one. Score!
Hey, you're going to give up that time and space. They're going to be able to bury the puck.
And so Nick Schmaltz ties the game at 1. 5 minutes, 57 seconds of the second period. And, you know, they make that extra seam pass. They do it a couple of times. This time he held on to the puck instead, and it worked.
Utah kept pressing when it looked like they took the lead.
Rudas stopping that puck. Mukko Madulin couldn't get it. Uh-oh. Keller behind the play shoots. That's a great save by Georgiev on a semi-breakaway by Keller, the captain of the Utah Hockey Club, with Mukko Madulin kind of mesmerized off to his right. But now they score. Keller gets another chance in front. Georgiev is saying that he was interfered with on this play, but the Utah fans celebrate what they think is their second goal of the game. We going to get a challenge here?
Yes, we are going to get a challenge here. And?
After the coach's challenge is determined there was goaltender interference on the play, there is no goal.
And so knotted at 1, we remain. The game goes deep into the third period, tied at 1, when Barrett Hayden would find the breakthrough for Utah.
Motta to the point. Bjugstad, the drive, save. It's loose on the rebound. A scramble for it, but it goes to the corner. 1-1 the score. Here's Hayden. Shoot. Score! Well, Barrett Hayden got the puck, and it deflected up top. He should get credit for the goal. And it is a 2-1 Utah lead. This one will count. Time of it, 18:28 in the third. It is the first lead that Utah has had in this game.
And again, the missed opportunities will haunt the Sharks out of this game. Hopefully not long. They need to forget about it and move on to tonight's game. But hopefully they will take some of those lessons with them into the game and recognize they did not generate enough shots, that they turned the puck over too often, they did not give their offensive support to the goalie that was needed. That's what's got to change. You're looking at a team that has the ability to win these games with San Jose, but they're not doing everything that it takes. And there needs to be a level of consistency with those efforts. And that's what's not there overall. And I'm not questioning their effort level. I'm saying that their competitive effort, that their game effort, that their, you know, overall commitment to the little things throughout the course of a 60-minute NHL game, it's not always at the level it needs to be. There's an inconsistency, and that's why, you know, they take a game at a 1-1 tie, 90 seconds left. They're not able to get a point out of that game. If you've only given up one goal with 90 seconds remaining in a road game, you've got to get 1 point out of that. I mean, that's just what it takes in the NHL. And I hate to be so frank about it or blunt, but I mean, guys, let's just think about this. One goal with 90 seconds left in the third period, you need a point out of that game. You need a win out of that game like 95% of the time. You give that same situation to the top teams in the NHL right now, they're walking away with at least 1 point 100% of the time. Or at least the areas where they don't walk away with a point in those situations are infinitesimally small. That's where San Jose needs to be. That's simply where they are not for the time being. All right, let's get into some of this post-game reaction. Mikhail Granlund was asked about the growing rivalry between Utah and San Jose, and it sounds like he acknowledges it, although he doesn't exactly seem enamored with the level of hockey that was played in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. There's a good atmosphere out there, so I don't think the hockey was the most beautiful game. I think both teams, we have some work to do, but beating, find a way tonight.
And he was asked his thoughts on Georgiev.
He was great tonight. He gave us a chance to win this game, and we were in it. So too bad we couldn't get it done.
Speaking of Alexander Georgiev, he was asked about his game and if he was able to take momentum out of his performance against Vegas.
I'd like to think so. Felt better from the start, and felt the first period. They had a lot of good chances, and stayed with it, made some good saves, so felt comfortable from the start, I would say.
And he was asked about what happened on the final goal from Utah that gave Utah the win.
Yeah, just the guy rolling to the middle, and lost sight of the puck there, and just tried to be big. Felt like might have been coming short side, and he just beat me. I didn't see the shot.
He also talked about the fact that even though we didn't see an overwhelming number of chances from Utah, it did seem like the chances they got were of a very high quality.
I don't know. It's more fun when the score is 1-0 for us and 1-1. It's a tight game, and you try to enjoy it and just play the game fair and not think about the amount of shots on that. I felt like they had some good chances in the second. They always tried to hit that post or the backdoor play, and this type of team, they're pretty skilled and they try to make good plays.
I always like to hear that answer from goalies because they enjoy the moment, they enjoy the opportunity, they like the tense nature of the game where they have to rise above, and I think that's indicative of where Georgiev's overall mindset is right now, because I feel like he's not that far off from recapturing what he was. So much of being a goalie in the NHL is mental. If your confidence gets rattled, if you feel you've lost the confidence of your teammates, that can be a very big factor in terms of your performance. But right now, you know, for a couple of games after he had a little bit of an extended run off where he had many starts from Askarov, he's looking like a very much different goalie, a better goalie, a calmer goalie, and more present in critical situations. Also, if you heard the build-up yesterday, you heard some of my interview with Sheng Peng. I continue that interview here on Morning Tide, as promised. If we look at Yaroslav Askarov and his play, what happens when Vitek Vanacek is back and healthy?
I think they're gonna send him back down. I don't think the Sharks' overarching plan this year is to win games first and foremost. I know you can't really admit that, but I think Mike actually did say something to that point when he traded Blackwood, and he said that in public, that like, let's not kind of kid ourselves where they are. You can play Askarov here, but it just kind of ruins your draft lottery position. And he wants to play a lot of games anyway, which is he's more likely to do with the Barracuda. And you just kind of keep him down there for another year. That's sort of the plan. And so I could be surprised, but I think I've maintained since really Askarov got healthy that the Sharks' two best goalies, no disrespect to Vanecek or Georgiev, they were Blackwood and Askarov at the beginning of the season, or whenever Askarov got healthy. And if the Sharks were serious about making a playoff push this year, that's who they would have put on in net on a nightly basis, and they didn't. And so I don't think that that's kind of their focus right now. And so I think that whenever Vanacek comes back, I mean, depends on when it does, because in a trade deadline, if they do trade somebody and that opens up a spot for Askarov, then I think they have to bring him up. So that's part of it too. We're not sure how long Vanacek will be out. So it's still a couple months away from the trade deadline. So, but anyway, though, so that's that. That would be my guess, and they might prove me wrong, but yeah, I think it's a pretty tank move, if I may say, on your show. But I don't blame them though, because yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the franchise is now. They could probably still use another high pick.
No doubt about it. I mean, you look at New Jersey and all the top five picks that are on that roster. I mean, I think that's not a surprise, that they're able to have that many top end talented players there. And then you look at their draft backgrounds and it's like, oh, okay, then that's what it takes. As
I
a
mean, let me
final
put
one
it
for
to
you.
you in one other way. Like this week, this slate of Sharks games, you have three games here, right? If the Sharks were trying to make the playoffs, they needed three wins to make the playoffs, even if it's a back-to-back, there's a good chance that Askarov is playing every one of those games, even the back-to-back. Maybe the back-to-back you give one of them to Georgiev. But if the number one thing is to win, Georgiev, I mean, no, Georgiev is a very talented goalie, and that he led the NHL in wins in the last 2 years, 78 wins. So I'm not taking anything away from him. But if right now, based on how they're playing, Askarov would play at least two of three this week if winning was the number one thing, and maybe all three of three. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I th that doesn't it makes sense, obviously. And the Sharks, to your point earlier, like, what's the point to get into the first round and lose? Like, I don't think that does anything for the long term when you're trying to make a decade long power. Just as a final one for you, because I know you got to run. Just your impressions of Colin Graf up to this point, and not because he's absent, but I just see a lot of similarities in their game. I see a lot of Logan Couture when I watch Colin Graf.
I don't know if I'll put those kind of, I guess, like expectations or impressions, but Colin is a very smart player. I give him a lot of credit. He looks a lot more comfortable now as opposed to last year. So yeah, I've liked what I've seen so far. I really did like when one of my reporters at San Jose Hockey Now, Josh Fregelin, talked with John McCarthy in San Diego about Graf, and right when Graf got called up, and the very first thing McCarthy talked about wasn't about the points, and Graf has plenty in the AHL. I think at the time he got called up, he was tied for the rookie lead in AHL scoring. So he's got plenty of points, but McCarthy instead said that beyond the scoring, though, it's about how Colin is engaged in the play, how Colin is back checking, how Colin is on the PK, and things like that are all the things that make up a winning hockey. We talk about Mikael Granlund, and why is Mikael Granlund valuable? It's not just about the points. And it's not just about the points. If you want to bring the Sharks back to a winning standard to the playoffs, it's not about empty calorie point scorers. It's about guys that can contribute offensively, but they also give you a lot of other elements. And so Colin, this year in particular, it has shown growth in sort of the other elements that are going to make him a legitimate NHL player. And then once he kind of establishes some of those kind of baseline kind of things, like that compete every night and things like that some of his skill will take over.
Good stuff there with Sheng Pang here on Morning Tide. Always his coverage for San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California is appreciated. But we are just about out of time. Looking ahead at tonight's game, we have got a 6:30 pregame, a 7 o'clock go time. Scott Hannon will be on the call with Dan Rusinowski as the Sharks take on Minnesota and look for a bounce back after a disappointing loss last night in Utah, but with a very big challenge and a very high quality opponent that are the Wild. So it should be a fun one. I look forward to seeing y'all at the Tank. And for those of you that came out to SAP Center last night for the Pride scrimmage, it was great to see y'all out there and fun event. And we're going to have fun tonight on Pride Night at SAP Center. But that's about all the time we have for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yang.